welcome to Didion Hawthorne in the In-Between, or DHNI. I'm your host, Mackenzie Gentz, and you're listening to our podcast about the relevance of literature in the 21st century. Now bookmark that book, and let's begin.
Hallo und herzlich willkommen zu unserem Podcast. Today, back by popular demand, we have another short story. You guys seem to really enjoy the Flannery O'Connor episode a few weeks ago, which is linked below if you are curious and haven't yet caught or listened to it. And you all also seem to like the last episode that we did on Edgar Allan Poe, which was a while ago and also is linked in the description. So I figured that it would be a really good idea to combine the two themes and do an episode on probably one of the most famous short stories ever written, The Telltale Heart by Edgar Allan Poe. I have to be honest and say that before rereading the story for this episode, I had not encountered or looked at this piece since middle school, which was a full 10 years ago, so my looking at the story again today is almost like my looking at it for the first time, and I'm excited to see what I remember about it and what we can discover together today. So the story starts out with a sonic boom, just with this short sentence, "It's true," with an exclamation point at the end. The story is in the first-person narration, which is good for us in some ways because it better thrusts us into the emotions of the situation and the emotions that the narrator is feeling, but also bad for us in some ways because, as we will see, Poe often allows unreliable narrators to lead the way in his works, and unreliability is hard to catch when it's the only source of truth in the story. Again, at the beginning here, we stumble in on this scene. Poe doesn't acclimate us in any way, which is a really beautiful way to, I think, start a short story. He just thrusts us in, and we encounter this madman who is addressing his mad cries, we think, to himself or possibly to the imaginary reader here, a witness, a judge of the situation, who knows. And at the end of the first paragraph, pretty much, we are entirely surrounded by these cries of madness. Poe also takes great care to fixate the madman on his sense of hearing, even in the beginning, and that is super interesting to me because I'm learning quite a bit about the different ways in which we tell modern stories. For part of my field research in Hamburg this spring, and pretty much all of the sources I've been reading say use all five senses in some way, and Poe has definitely at least gotten a good start on that bit right from the first paragraph here. I also just want to point out for those listening and still perhaps going through a high school English course, there's a gorgeous example of a balanced sentence here, which reads, quote, "I heard sounds from heaven, and I heard sounds from hell," unquote. It's simply a pristine balanced sentence, and for English nerds like myself, it's wonderful to be able to recognize those things. So we quickly realize here that the narrator's goal for the short story is to convince us that he's not crazy by virtue of telling his entire story, starting with a little quip that he murdered a man who threatened him with his evil eye. Behind the deed itself was the narrator's visiting the man every night for 8 nights and going into his room and checking him out, and on the 8th night, he, the narrator, opens the door to find the man awake, his eye opened, wide and in full view when the narrator shines light on his face. It's interesting, I don't really know what I think about this eye as a symbol here. I think it might be some sort of foreboding symbol. I know that eyes are used throughout history in different mythological ways, maybe to show knowledge or truth. I'm sure there's an eye, for example, in the Percy Jackson series somewhere in those Greek-derived fictional works. And I'm sure that Poe is using some sort of derivation of folklore in order to highlight this evil eye situation here. For me, it almost feels like this guy has a manifestation of some insecurity that the eye brings out in him, and so he's killing the man with the eye in order to try to deal with his insecurity in some way. If you guys have other thoughts on this, let me know in the comments down below. During this sequence, the narrator notes that it really was the eye and not the man that he was after, and also that the narrator himself, by being the deliverer of death, effectively has turned into death on the eighth night when he opened the door. The passage is written with an unmistakable intensity that builds and builds until, of course, he murders the guy by suffocating him with his bedsheet. Interesting in the murder passage is that for the second time in the short, the narrator harps on hearing the man's heartbeat, even over the feeling of his own anger at the eye, which is, it's cool for me because you have this reason, this motive for the murder, and yet even the motive is overshadowed by his hearing the heartbeat. And the passage shows the importance of that sound, especially by creating a sensory deprivation effect where the narrator can no longer see in this complete darkness that they're both in, and the blackness, in effect, hypersensitizes even the reader to the sounds that the narrator is describing here. So not even the eye is visible when he's hearing these sounds. Troubling, though, is that while the narrator is killing the man's heart continues beating for several minutes after he is supposedly supposed to be dead. And gruesome though it is to report, the narrator, after the old man is dead, chops him up and hides him underneath the floorboards, being so meticulous with the task as to, quote, not let a single drop of blood fall on the floor, unquote. He soon meets a herald of policemen at his door, of course, who were called in by a neighbor who heard the old man's cries. The narrator creates an alibi for himself. Naturally, he's protecting himself, saying that the man is visiting friends in the countryside, though as the visit draws on, the narrator begins to again hear this insatiable sound of the dead man's heart beating in the other room. What I find particularly poignant about this scene is that Poe matches the length of the narrator's sentences with the quickness of the beating heart. So, in the beginning of the passage, he articulates what he needs to say in full sentences, saying, for example, quote, and the sound, too, became louder. But at the end of the passage, he shortens the same material to simply say, quote, louder, louder. Again, echoing the changes in what he's supposedly hearing. The story as a whole gives me serious Dostoevsky Crime and Punishment vibes, because famously, the sounds that the narrator hears in this short story of his victim's heart beating from underneath the floorboards, those sounds are an external manifestation of his guilt at his crime, which proves similar to the physical manifestations of Raskolnikov's own guilt, like his intense illness, for example, in the novel. Unlike Raskolnikov, however, the narrator here does not have any resolution in terms of his crime, at least not within the scope of the story, as the story ends with the narrator professing his guilt to the policeman and with the sound of the man's feverishly beating heart as a witness. If you enjoyed the discussion and would like to hear more from us, there is a show and a series for everyone, so I'd recommend checking out our website, relevanceofliterature.com, under the ongoing series tab for links to our entire back catalog of episodes. We also have a couple of open surveys that you can find through the links in the description, so if you have 3 minutes while you're waiting in line somewhere, we would very much appreciate your feedback on our show. Thank you so much for tuning in to this episode, and we'll see you next time.